Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The great Tommy Hutton joins us here on the show. I'm sure on your scorecard somewhere, you might have made a note of this to talk about in the pregame with Craig today on Fox TV. Right side defense is one of the things I wrote down on my little sheet here. Those plays by Albies and Freeman, huge difference makers also.
Yeah, those guys are thorns, certainly, in the Marlins side, offensively or defensively. Freeman, believe it or not, with all the damage the Braves did yesterday, he was 0-4, but made a great play. Albies made a couple of great plays. And then there were a couple of balls that the Braves hit that just were able to sneak through the infield. Let's just hope that Rachel Nichols didn't pick. I don't want her getting involved because I think she's a kiss of death. Let's just hope she stays out of this one.
From Two for the Money fame, the great Brandon Lang, handicapper extraordinaire with us here on the show. Brandon, how are you, my friend?
When you buy dances, you become a client. When you buy cocktails, you become a friend. Guys, they don't bang their clients, but they'll bang their friends. Now that's the nugget you need on a Friday.
The great Brandon Lang with this excellent stuff. Do you have any final short piece of advice for the young kids that are traveling with their dads to school right now?
Just remember, when you turn 18 and you go in there, you buy a dance, you become a client, you buy a cocktail, you become a friend. I forgot to say this. Don't ever invite them to go to dinner or lunch. They hate that. Invite them to go to a movie. They love movies. They'll wear sweats. They won't wear any makeup. They'll feel more natural. Ladies and gentlemen, you're on your way to getting that first stripper in your life.
You're a great American. That Tillman Fertitta interview was awkward for me. It really was. We
taped it. The interview actually wasn't bad. It was just, it did start off weird, and you were like just waiting to sort of wrap it up.
I thought the guy was being a bigger wise guy than I am, and I don't like to be out wise guy. No, I don't mind. I want the people to say something.
I was going
to
say, that's what we hope for.
We're not looking for hostility.
The time.
Wake up with Defo, joined by Lubie. Welcome to the Defo Show.
On a beautiful Thursday here in South Florida, great to be with you. Jeff DeForest, Mike Lubie Lubitz with you on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Many things happening on the program today. Going to be a very busy episode of the Defo Show, and we're happy to have you with us. In the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get into that Canes-Pittsburgh game. Pittsburgh gaining a lot of steam from the degenerate gamblers out there. They're also getting 12 points in a game that some people would see as a much more even-Steven matchup. And our good friend Charlie Partridge, now the defensive line coach of the Pittsburgh Panthers, is going to join us in a 7 o'clock hour. And then we've been working on this one for a while, Lubie. How long have you been digging up ideas as to how we can get Manny Diaz to come on the show? You've made a lot of phone calls, sent a lot of texts, sent a lot of emails in that regard. And Manny Diaz has agreed to join us in the 7 o'clock hour as well. So that's going to be our first opportunity since he took over.
No.
Isn't that weird, Lubie?
We had him on
first
last
opportunity
year.
To talk to Manny Diaz. Did we talk to him last
We've
year?
We had him on. I was going to ask, so you beat me too. I was going to ask you, did we have him on this offseason or last year? But we've had him on. I remember we did talk with him.
Seems like we did, yeah.
I was tough on him, so we had him on and you gave me crap for being tough on him. To him, of course.
Well, you don't like the Hurricane program. I mean, you pretend to, and you act like, yeah, I'm from Miami, but I went to FSU. But you literally despise the Hurricane
program. I hate Hurricane
fans.
Why
don't you just admit it?
I don't hate the Hurricane. I like the Hurricane. I grew up
rooting. How can you hate Hurricane fans? The Hurricane fans are all right, no?
They're cocky. They are obnoxious to me, and it's annoying.
Well, your Florida State fans aren't?
The new Florida State fans are. I can't lie. The new Florida State, the young Florida State fan is a moron who doesn't understand football and doesn't understand being a fan. They rush to judgment, and it's psychotic. I will totally admit that. That's true. Twitter is totally... Maybe it's Twitter. Maybe Twitter's ruined all fan bases and just made them loudmouths and obnoxious and bitter. Like the Dolphin fan. The new Dolphin fan's an idiot. Like, Tua hasn't played yet, and they've already condemned him for his entire career. He hasn't played.
Well, that's the way fans are. And that's actually where I was going to begin today. And welcome to the show. Good to have you guys with us. So Manny Diaz later on. Tony Segreto goes old school with us. Catholic Health Services, Texas Roadhouse, behind the old school hour with Tony Segreto. And we're hoping we're working on this as we speak because I am very excited about the Lomachenko-Lopez fight coming up on Saturday. And there hasn't been that kind of blockbuster event for boxing fans. Top Rank Boxing was doing a nice job with some filler when there was no sporting event taking place, and ESPN was hard-pressed to fill the programming. In fact, they were running in primetime cornhole competitions. Yes. Here's Fat Louie, man. He hasn't missed one in the last seven rounds. Here's the sad part is I watched somebody, right? You find yourself watching two people on TV playing cornhole. I don't care how great they are. I guess there's something to be said. My buddy, and he's been coming up a lot here on the show, my buddy Eddie Kaplan used to tell me, if you're the best in the world at anything, doesn't matter what it is, if you're the best in the world at anything, it's quite a distinction, is it not? If you're the very best in the world at something that you endeavor to do, let's hope it's something that isn't a complete negative. But if you're the best in the world at tiddlywinks, there's something to it, is there not? If you're the best in the world at chess, certainly that should be appreciated. Ah, that guy's got to be a real brain, right? So if you're the best in the world at anything, it's to be respected. If you're the best in the world at cornhole, Luby, does it matter to anybody but you? Probably not.
No.
Good way for a fat guy to make a living. That's about it. Are they all fat guys that play cornhole? No. Why do I want to characterize that as a fat guy sport? Bowling was always characterized as a fat guy sport.
Bowling.
But if you looked at it, a lot of skinny guys were great bowlers, no?
Yeah.
Marshall Holman was. He didn't have an ounce of fat on him.
Yeah, that's true. Weber,
like
the young Pete Weber.
Charles Howell III. Pete Weber. Dick Weber was a skinny, rail-like, waif-like type of guy, too. But if you're the best in the world in anything, I guess it's worthy of something. And it was... It was shocking to think that you would actually tune in for a few minutes. I guess, you know, you watch a lot of stuff in sports sometimes, offbeat sports, and things that are way down the totem pole in terms of importance when it comes to sports and sports viewing. And you think, okay, I'll land on this for a couple of seconds just to see why on earth they're televising this. If I can find any kind of reasonable way to defend it being broadcast all over the world. And cornhole, I'd have to say, is something that should just be played by guys who never get one in that are playing out there in the wind on the beach, no?
Honestly.
That was my last episode with cornhole. I'm not very good at cornhole. Is that why I have some kind of negativity about it? For some reason, and you'd think I'd be good at it, but I'm not. Not very good at cornhole. And, nonetheless, we don't have to deal with that. But we do have great blockbuster fights. They were filling a lot of the gap there with the dearth of sports, with boxing from Top Rank Boxing, and then later Pro Boxing Champions came on board with stuff on Fox. But Lomachenko-Lopez is a legitimate big fight, and there are a few others coming up, including Gervonta Davis against my man Leo Santa Cruz, which I'm a little concerned about Santa Cruz in that fight because Davis is that good. You have Danny Garcia going against Errol Spence Jr., and supposedly, and this is going through a lot of controversy as to when it's going to take place. I don't know if it's going to take place, but Wilder Fury 3, which I don't have as much interest in watching as the other three fights. I think Spence is coming back from that horrible car accident that he had, so it'll be interesting to see what he has. Danny Garcia, a very credible opponent, no question, steady as a rock. And Gervonta Davis, Santa Cruz, that's going to be fireworks. Lomachenko Lopez figures to be great also. So Santos Perez will try and work him into the show here today as we had to schedule some things or reschedule some things and juxtapose a couple of things due to the fact that Manny Diaz is going to join us later on. You're not going to try to nail this guy. I mean, what are you going to say? Are you going to bring up the FIU loss? I mean, what are you going to do, Libby?
I have nothing to nail him on.
Diaz.
I mean, I wasn't against his hiring. I just thought UM should have done a more deeper search. I feel like they could have got a more experienced coach, but I like him as a defensive mind. He's a Florida State grad. I mean, he got his start as a grad assistant under Mickey Andrews. So, I mean, I like the guy, and I hope he does big things here for UM. I just thought UM fan was getting a little ahead of themselves by pounding a Florida State team without their coach in his first year in COVID season and beating Louisville, who I thought was super highly overrated. I think these are the games that are going to show, not Clemson, whatever. They weren't on Clemson's level. But I think these are the games that show if Miami has improved. Because remember, last year, when they had a nice run, they beat Pitt, they beat Louisville, they beat Florida State. So even I was like, okay, look at UM. Then they lost against the three worst opponents on their schedule in a row in horrible fashion. So these are the games that I think a year later with a veteran quarterback can show that Miami, I don't know if they're back, but they're improved. And I think that's what you want if you're a second-year head coach.
I'm just chronicling some of the things that you've said on a show here about the University of Miami program. Even this year, you thought Rhett Lashley was a mistake, that he was just a phony Joe Philbin type. He had orchestrated some very dynamic offensive play. I mean, there's no disgrace getting wiped off the planet by Clemson.
No.
Clemson is... They brought back a quarterback who could have easily been the number one pick in the draft last year.
He would have been.
In spite of the fact.
100% would have been.
Joe Burrow ended up winning the Heisman, and that Tua Tagovailoa was hurt, but ended up being coveted by the Dolphins and obviously many other teams. We're seeing with Justin Herbert.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You do. You still have the guy that would have been chosen over all of those guys
yes.
that are, a couple of whom have distinguished themselves already, at least to some extent, in the pros.
Yes.
As being worthy of those kind of accolades and that kind of respect. So, you know, it interests me today, too, this Dolphins-Jets thing. It's amazing, right? It's Thursday, Luby. We've had a couple of conversations about it. We had Mike Westhoff on the show yesterday. He's always great. And, of course, coached, what, 15 years with the Dolphins and
yep.
10 with the Jets.
Yep.
Very unusual combination and perspective to have talking about Dolphins and Jets. And the very reason that I got back into talk radio after kind of circling into television after being on the radio here on 940 Wins with my original job in town, and then I started working for Sunshine Network, which is now Fox Sports Sun and Fox Sports Florida, and I was really concentrating much more on doing TV than radio, although I always loved radio as a medium, always my favorite medium of all, whether you're talking about print journalism and any type of broadcast journalism, this is the best of it, right? You can literally be hiding in a room in your underwear and do a show on a major affiliate and network and go ahead and just do your thing, right? You don't have to worry about how you look, and it's all about the spoken word, which I think, unfortunately, has become a little bit of a lost art, has it not? Because people don't talk anymore. So they're not developing their own speaking skills. It's one of those deals where you send a guy a text, and you even do that in code. So,
yep.
I don't know, the lost art of linguistics, I guess it would be. Is that right, Luby? It sounds like I'm talking about a spaghetti dish at Anthony's.
Linguistics Glenville.
Speech. Yeah, I'll have the linguistics.
The speech.
Yeah, no, the red sauce tonight.
Yeah.
What's that?
Linguistics
Does that
is
make sense?
Speech. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's unfortunate. But the way I got back into talk radio, the great Joe Zagacki called me one day and asked me what I was doing. And I was doing the horse racing replay show and a couple of other things, some boxing. And I had my own little TV projects going, a couple of shows working. But I always wanted to get back into it, and he said, we have a spot for you. Actually, I think I was really hurting badly at the time.
It didn't sound like you were turning
like
down
Joe jobs. Called, I was like, please, Joe, do you have a job for me? And I'm pretty sure I was in desperate straits when this call came. So I would have agreed to anything, and he asked me if
like.
I want to do some part-time work at WIOD on the weekends, and the real reason that he needed another guy on his staff and they were expanding was because they were expanding the Dolphins and Canes pregame shows from 2 hours to 3 hours.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. So, and Joe was like a one-man band over there when it came to putting these pregame shows together. They had all the guys on his staff, Sonny Hirsch. They had Hank. But Hank was kind of a part-time guy there himself because he was a big advertising executive. Sonny was there, but he was working in the morning, so he didn't have time to mess with this stuff. Plus, he was doing all the play-by-play. And certainly Rick Weaver wasn't going to go and say, you know what? I'll help you guys out there. They rappy-cacked me into doing this pregame show. So Joe needed another guy. He called me and asked me if I wanted to be a part of the thing, and they had expanded these two pregame shows and the postgame from 2 to 3 hours, which makes some sense because back then radio stations used to pay big money for rights fees to have these local teams to be the flagship. And that dynamic has changed significantly. I think you'll see this more and more around the country where the team is actually paying to be on the station. And then gets the opportunity to sell advertising. Does that sound like a good concept, Luby?
Yeah, it's a dream.
It's especially good, and the team may even get the tie for free, right? I mean, if you can sell your own advertising, get paid directly, it's not a bad gig. I learned that very early on in my career. But the very reason that I was back into sports talk radio became something that was a source of dread after a while, although I never really dread being on the air for any length of time, but nonetheless, a four-hour pregame show, they eventually expanded it to 4 hours because the station only made money if they had advertising in the pregame show. They didn't have any content, any inventory inside the game. So they had to have the longest possible pregame show, especially then when they were paying heavy rights fees, to make back whatever it was that they could, whatever chunk they could, to have the Dolphins on the radio station. So there were many, many Dolphin Jet games where I was outside of what is now Hard Rock Stadium 4 hours before the game to go on the air. And before, I used to have to scale the fence. It was sometimes still locked. I would just leave my car outside to make it onto the air. But a four-hour pregame show. So you saw a lot of things. And what you saw was how this whole rivalry had kind of disintegrated over the years, where you used to see people lining up way early. They were busting through the gates as soon as they opened them up. They were all racing to get parking spaces, set up grills, and do all kinds of things. And the crowd for Dolphin Jet games, I won't say it was evenly divided, but it was closer than it was for any other rival that the Dolphins would take on.
Yes.
A lot of Al Toon jerseys.
Yes.
You always see name Toon. Mostly Toon. A lot of Toon.
A lot of Toon.
Plecko. Be like Gastineau was popular.
Like a big dude with T-O-O-N. It's like, dude, that doesn't work for you.
I'll tell you what the biggest shocker was with jerseys was when Jay Fiedler went from the Dolphins after, you know, kind of a so-so tenure here, although none fault of his own. The guy tried. He gave it everything he had. And then he went to the Jets, remember? And I remember being out there like at 8 in the morning and seeing four guys coming in Fiedler Jet jerseys. And I thought, wow, that's it, man. The ship has sailed on this thing. Because, you know, I mean, the distinction of the rivalry had just gone right out the window. But no conversation this week. Are you sensing? I know fans can't get out there, and there's going to be a limited number. Jersey Kyle's going to the game. He's copping
some
tickets off the people that deal Volkswagen. Yeah, he tried to talk me into going.
No way.
Which I might have considered, except that I have some birthday retreat I have to go to over the weekend here that's involving, like, yoga and all of this other stuff.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not looking forward to participating in any of that. No, it's some kind of birthday retreat. It doesn't involve yoga.
You make fun of me.
As I know. No, no, none of that is me. I'll be in front of a television set on Saturday night at 10 o'clock to watch the undercard of the Lomachenko-Lopez fight, I can assure you, regardless of what kind of chanting ceremony is going on at the time out there in the woods or wherever we're going. We're going by some river in Jensen Beach, Indian River. Does that make sense?
Okay, that sounds. Oh, you're going up to like Orlando.
No, not quite there. Like about.
It's a couple hours away. I think.
What is it like?
Jupiter. Is it North Jupiter? Is that where Jensen is?
North of Jupiter. Yeah, Jensen Beach.
Okay.
I don't know. It's gonna be ugly. No, it should be okay.
Just be safe. You'll be fine.
I'll be fine. You know what? I haven't traveled much. You know. You know. I like to take my trips, so this will be okay with me. Anything will do, right? I don't care if I drove around a block. It just feels nice to do something normal again. But anyway, yeah, Dolphins Jets. We'll get into that later on in the program with Tony, of course. He was witness to a lot of this. I was trying to think of the classics. Do you count the Richard Todd game? You would have to count that. You were probably too young to remember that. What was that, like 1984, 85? The Richard Todd game. It had to be 85, right, when the Dolphins went to the Super Bowl and Richard Todd threw the three picks to A.J. Dewey, who dominated the ball game, and Shula had the field watered down before the game. He actually had, like, you know, planes flying overhead and dumping water on the field. And they slowed it down so the Jets couldn't run the ball, and they couldn't pass it either that day. And the Dolphins won it, I think, 14-0. Was that the final in that game, 14-0?
No clue.
My favorite was the Pete Carroll choke sign game when Stoyo missed a field goal. And Carroll came out on the field as a Jets assistant and gave the choke sign to Pete Stoyanovich, and then Marino just destroyed them for the next couple of minutes, an impossible mathematical permutation to win that game. But there are many classics in the series. Let's hope we start to have some more. All right, we're coming back with more. Speaking of classics, Mike Westhoff going to join us next here on the program. That's our instant replay. Westy, always fascinating on all aspects of football. I think you're going to enjoy that. Canes Pittsburgh will have Charlie Partridge representing the Panthers, and Manny Diaz later on the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes head coach, Tony Segreto, goes old school. Frank Schwab on football, and hopefully we'll be able to work in Santos Perez in that 9 o'clock hour as well on the fights. Back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Lubitz. Back with more in a moment on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and the iHeartRadio app. Now that.
The time.
It's 6:22.
For information about contests on this station, go to 940wins.com/rules.
Play-by-play 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Special teams coach, greatest of all time, who would you take? Travis Williams going way back, the Flea?
Devin Hester didn't run across the street against any team that I had, much as I love him and respect him.
Love it.
He didn't. I'm sorry. I got to know Deion Sanders very well, and I've talked to him lots of times. And I told him, I said, if you'd had to play us every week, you'd be working as a greeter at Walmart.
It's now time for The Defoe Show.
Beautiful Wednesday shaping up here in South Florida. Jeff DeForest and Luby Brown. Mike Luby Lubitz with you. 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. People ask me all the time, hey, how come you're still working? The obvious answer is I need the money, especially after that bloodbath at my accountant's office yesterday, where the great Johnny Kasbar bailed me out. I was schwitzing like mother.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Moses Malone. They had to have a squeegee to wipe up the droplets that were there on the floor. It was a pretty ugly scene. And yet, I always think of this as I look back on my life, and whether you were successful or a failure or whatever you want to deem yourself, if you're being judgmental, the enriching factor in my life was meeting many great people, the opportunity through this job to meet and get to know many great people. And among my favorites is a gentleman who joins us right now. Always loved dealing with this guy, seeing him anywhere that he was. The great Mike Westhoff joins us here on the show. Michael, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I listened to your whole thing about the University of Florida. That was really something. That's interesting.
Yeah, kind of wild. I mean, you can certainly appreciate that, having dealt with massive health issues in your lifetime, Michael. And you know, who the hell would recommend that we all get together and have a party and have the largest cocktail party in the States there as the Gator fans? I couldn't imagine being a part of that crowd. That would be ridiculous. All right, we asked this question of the great O.J. McDuffie yesterday, and you would be as qualified to answer this, maybe more so than anybody else, because you were on both sides of this thing. When you were a Dolphin coach, how much did you despise the Jets? And when you were a Jet coach, how much did you just absolutely want to lay it on the Miami Dolphins?
That's a good question. I think the fact that when I was with the Jets, you know, there had been so many changes at Miami, and it was a different Miami team, certainly, than the one I had been involved with. Because, you know, I was the coach Shula and that whole realm. Yeah. That was so differently. So I would think the Dolphins, when I was with the Jets, the Dolphins irritated me more than the other way around. Because when I was with the Dolphins back then, you know, the Jets were, they were just another opponent. But it was a little different the other way around. Probably because I knew so much and some of the guys that were there and, you know, well, I mean, I had probably the best special teams year in NFL history and got fired. So, you know, I got elected by my peers as coach of the year and got fired. So, you know, people say, oh, don't take it personal. No, I'm going to take it personal. So I did.
Honestly.
Nice. Well, it's interesting, too, because that's what happens in this job. I mean, there's a parallel, and you've been involved in the media also, Mike, and now writing a book, but You know, usually you walk out of the studio thinking, wow, that was the best show I've ever done. And then you get the text later on now that your services are no longer necessary. What do you make of watching these franchises now? Do you believe that the Dolphins are on the uptick? Certainly that was very encouraging what we saw, even with Fitzpatrick, the aging veteran who you have to love being a coach that's been in the NFL or was in the NFL for as long as you have and associated with the league for as long as you have. Yet you love this kind of guy. But it does look like the team has to be on the uptick, and yet the Jets are in total demise. And that, I think, is more surprising, that the Dolphins would be the team at this point that seems to have a little bit of a springboard, and that the Jets are absolutely at the bottom of the abyss.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think the Dolphins, and I've watched them a couple times. I don't know all the guys like I used to know everybody, all the players, but they look good. They are on the upswing. I feel pretty good. There's a lot of things they're doing well. And they're, you know, I watched some of how they played last week. I mean, they look good. They really look good. You know, Fitzpatrick's always done a nice job. Yeah, I was covering the Jets when he was playing for them that year, and he had a great year up there. So I've seen him do some very good things as a quarterback. He doesn't surprise me. I know my last year at New Orleans, when I was there in 18, and he was at Tampa, they came in. And, you know, I can remember sitting there in the staff meeting and saying, you guys, this guy's a little better than what you think. Get prepared. I said, he doesn't look like he can run, but he can run. He looks like he can't run across the street, but he can. So, you know, I'm seeing some good things there that they are doing better. The Jets just cannot get on the same page. You know, I think their personnel, between their coaches and their administrators, it looks like they're two different organizations. You know, I know they've had big-time personnel problems up there. They're a mess. They need to retool completely. It's interesting. I did a thing with a writer from in New York the other day, and he was talking about the Jets and was very vehemently interested in who would be the right guy to come in and completely take over and dominate that place as a new coach, et cetera, et cetera. They were already into that conversation.
Coach Westhoff, let me ask you, because you are part of a Dolphins organization that was not only stable and consistent, but there was never really questions in the hierarchy, and there was never questions in the culture. And Defoe and I all the time sort of mock the idea of culture as sitting on the outside looking in. But when we talk to players and we talk to coaches, they are very firm behind that term culture. You then went to a Jets organization that had success early, but then again seemed to have culture issues that have gone on today. It feels like the Dolphins have sort of figured out their culture issues and the Jets haven't. As a coach, when you were part of staffs, could you tell when culture was working well and when it was sort of struggling?
Yeah. To be honest with you, I really have not been a part of the struggling.
Okay.
When I first started in the NFL back with 1982 with the Baltimore Colts, you know, we were all over the place. And Frank Kush, who was very much a college coach and, you know, wasn't really a the NFL was a little bit beyond what he wanted to do. But he hired a really good football staff. Mm. I mean, I wrote about this in my book. Some of the guys that I coached with there was Zeke Gradkowski and Bud Carson. Gunther Cunningham just won the same award that I did this year, the Lifetime Achievement Award. Rick Venturi.
Wow.
We didn't have time to put it all together. You know, Frank didn't really have time. We made the move from Baltimore to Indianapolis, and then that got frustrating in some areas, and, you know, it wasn't, and Frank was gone, but that's the only time, because everywhere else, I was part of a pretty, pretty good football team. I mean, I spent 12 years in New York, but we were in the playoffs six times and went to two championship games. So I just actually wrote this yesterday. The years that I was there was by in no means the same old Jets. They absolutely were not. We were a good football team. I was proud of it. You know, of course, I came in on a football team with Herman Edwards, but it was Bill Parcells that had put that team together Well, you know, he knows a little something about putting teams together, although I think he was a little bit on vacation down there with you guys.
Yes, he was.
That was a freebie, yeah, no question.
that's my opinion there. That wasn't quite – you didn't get his A game, that's for sure. But I did. And then when I went to New Orleans, you know, we were really good. So I really don't know that culture that doesn't exist. Because it's building step by step, day by day, little things, and making sure that everybody's on the same page and doing things the right way. You know, and you can see when you do that, you can put together a pretty good football team. You can do it fairly quickly if you know how to do it.
The great Mike Westhoff with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. You know, when you get older, Mike, and you probably haven't experienced this yet, but I'm starting to get a little bit of the signs of dementia. But I had the chronology with you maybe being there when Shula had the meeting and said, let's go with the kid. But it's kind of an interesting proposition right now, and it's always an interesting question, very situational. When do you go with the young guy that you drafted that's supposed to be the future of the franchise? Have you been in on a lot of those meetings over the years in your many years in the league? I know they didn't want to replace Drew Brees, your last stop there with the Saints, and the Jets, they were pushing Sanchez, and he was the young kid. What are those meetings like, and what do you think the Finns should do?
I was very much part of one, and that's when we were, you know, with when I first went to the Jets, Vinny Testaverde was our quarterback, and as Vinny was getting older, we had Chad Pennington sitting there.
Mm.
And made the move to go to Chad Pennington. And Herman Edwards was really the guy that pushed for that and wanted to get that done. And it worked. It worked. It worked really well for us. Because we had a pretty good football team. And, you know, I mean, Curtis Martin was running the ball. And Kevin Mawai was the center. They're both in the Hall of Fame. And our three wide receivers, Santana Moss, Lavernius Coles, and Lane Corbett, they're pretty good. And we had a good football team. But Chad was the right guy to bring in as a quarterback. Now, there were several extenuating circumstances. Paul Hackett was our offensive coordinator. He was a West Coast offensive guy, and he did not believe in any way, shape, or form in the shotgun. Well, Vinny Testaverde, if he had been in the shotgun, he could still throw. He just got to the point where he couldn't move, and it wasn't a drop-back guy. And, you know, those skills were – they weren't leaving him. They had left him, you know, like Elvis. He had left the building. And that type of thing. But Chad, you know, Chad was perfect for that. Now, Chad, you know, after he hurt his arm a little bit, he just didn't have strength to throw. And then that was, you know, what we would play New England, and they would really load everybody up in the middle of the field and give him the throw outside the number. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And they would beat us. They'd beat us in the playoffs. But we were pretty good. But that's really the only time that I actually was part of that. Yeah, when we moved up in the draft and took Mark Sanchez. But, you know, again, that was a good football team. You know, but we were a certain type of team. The quarterback was just a guy that was there for us. That wasn't our strength. We led the league in rushing, and we had LaDainian Tomlinson. Good offensive line. We led the league in rushing. We were one of the top teams in the league in defense, and I had a really good unit. That's how we won, and that's how we went to two championship games. It wasn't sexy, but it was pretty good. We couldn't quite get Mike Tannenbaum to believe that, you know, that philosophy was working. You know, he gives Mark the big contract, and that set the ball rolling downhill. I'll never forget it. I asked him, well, why would you do this? And he said, well, that's what you have to pay an AFC championship game quarterback. I said, well, if he had anything to do with us getting there, I'd kind of believe that with you. But
good old Mike Tannenbaum.
I'll tell you an interesting one. You bring it up because it's you guys. A good friend of mine, coaches for Jacksonville. And he was telling me this. Did he play you guys beat them and played a good game against them? He said, all I know is this, before the game, when I watched that new quarterback warm up, he said, I was knocked out.
Exactly.
He said, that kid can throw.
Yep.
He said, he really looked good to me. He said, I don't know when it'll come his time, but when it does, he said, from what I watched, and this guy's, I think he's been in the league 30 years now, this guy that I'm talking about, he said, I was extremely impressed.
The total recall of coaches, yes, when we talk to them about various details, no matter how far back they go, is just incredible. And that's why I can't wait for your book to come out. What's the latest status on that, Mike Westhoff? How are you coming along?
I'm probably about 80% finished. Figure it out. That's what it's called. Figure it out. I'm really enjoying it. It's just, you know, during this crazy time that we're all experiencing today, that you actually talk very well about it. I believe what some stuff you're saying, I think was really a good soliloquy that you did. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a ball doing it. I have the time. I write pretty much every morning. I've got a guy helping me that's a writer, but he's editing. I write every single word.
Oh, wow.
And then what he does is he calls these guys and interviews them and records it. And he types it and sends it to me, and I use it in the book where it's applicable. I mean, the interviews that O.J. McDuffie gave, and Lewis Oliver, Terry Glenn, you know, Bernie Parmalee, Larry Izzo, Zach Thomas, oh, my goodness. And those are just Miami guys. Wow, what a great job they did. And it's so easy for them to just talk. And then I've taken that and moved it right in. So we made it very clear, I did, to them, that, you know, okay, I did this, so this is where I'm writing it, but I want to know how you lived it. Describe it to me any way that you want. I'm gonna quote you right as it goes in. So trust me, it's a little salty now with some of those guys. It's a little salty what some of them said, but it's been so much fun for me. And the way I feel when I look back on it, that I am so proud to have lived that part of the business where the NFL kind of moved from, you know, push and shove to the, you know, the dynamic coaches that were involved at that time, and how it moved through a period into an explosive game that it is today. And I think was a better game than it is today. And I really believe that. So I feel like I was, for the 32 years, was at the optimal best time that the game ever was and ever will be.
It's going to be brilliant.
Great. I know,
yes.
When it comes to special teams, that's absolutely the truth. And their special teams have been so minimized. So that part of it, you know, it's like I talked about some of the records that we hold. Well, hell, you can't break them because there's no plays. So good luck. How are you going to break? I was at the New York Jets. I'll give you an interesting one. 12 years I was there. We had nine different guys that led the National Football League in returns.
Jeez.
Well, who's going to touch that? Nobody, because you don't have any returns. So forget it. So it's been a lot of fun for me, and I feel very, very honored to have been part of it and to go back and relive it. So for me, it's exciting.
Looking forward to it. Michael, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for being with us. Always great having you on the show.
That's okay, anytime. I love talking with you guys. You're the best.
What kind of question is that?
What kind of a question is that?
How could you ask me a question like that?
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It's time for today's mini trivia challenge, brought to you by the law offices of Jared Spingarn. If you're injured in an accident, call 833-HIRE-JARED. That's 833-447-3527. Or log on to hirejared.com. It's not just business, it's personal. For today's championship question, we look at the blockbuster match between Vasyl Lomachenko and Teofilo Lopez, slated for Saturday night for the lightweight championship of the world. Lomachenko, who had a remarkable and long amateur career, fought for a world title for the first time in only his second professional bout. He ended up on the wrong end of a split decision, incurring the only loss of his pro career. Today's HireJared.com championship question is, what fighter defeated Lomachenko that night to hand him his only pro setback? Was it Nicholas Walters, Orlando Salido, Abner Morris, or Leo Santa Cruz? That answer in a moment. For Jared Spingarn, your injury is not just business, it's personal. After suffering devastating injuries in a near-fatal car crash at 18 and dealing with unjust insurance companies in his own case, Jared decided to dedicate his life's work to help the injured. No law firm is better equipped to handle or understand your case than the law offices of Jared Spingarn. If you're a victim of a car crash, pedestrian accident, slip and fall, spinal cord injury, wrongful death, or medical malpractice, log on to hirejared.com. That's hirejared.com or call 833-HIRE-JARED. And instead of getting hustled by your attorney, get the one firm that's going to hustle for you. Hire Jared has the resources, the record of success, and over 1,000 winning cases worth of experience. No injury is minor when it's yours. Call 24/7 for a no-obligation free evaluation of your case. You pay nothing unless you win. Don't let your case become just another number. Log on to HireJared.com or call 833-HIRE-JARED and see what a difference personalized service can make. Jared Spingarn has been in your shoes. It changed his life. Let the law offices of Jared Spingarn help change yours. Lomachenko stepped into the ring that night with his 1-0 professional record, but literally ran into a brick wall as an over-the-weight Orlando Salido missed the weigh-in limit by 3 pounds, forfeiting his title in the process. By fight night, he had rehydrated up to nearly 147, and a crafty pro was able to manhandle Lomachenko and hand him a bit of a fuzzy loss. That's today's mini trivia challenge, brought to you by the law offices of Jared Spingarn for all personal injury matters. And remember, if you don't win, you pay nothing. Log on to HireJared.com or call 833-HIRE-JARED. That's 833-447-3527.
A chant that will scare the opponent. The chant is broom ba, broom the gay. Broom the guy, they got a hoosh the guy. They got a hoosh the guy. They got a hoosh the
guy. We had to get rid of that guy.
It's now time for The Defo Show.
One of the very interesting things about life, Luby, and I believe you'll find this to be true as you travel through time, is that it's bizarrely coincidental how things happen, and one event could greatly change the outcome and the way that you live your life. I met my first wife by just arbitrary, oddball chance and ended up having a son, now two grandchildren, even though the marriage itself only went 8 rounds in the preliminaries. But still, that was a pretty good distance for me in a relationship. But nonetheless, I mean, how coincidental was it? I met her by pure accident. And there was a parallel there with these confirmation hearings, believe it or not, in my life. The confirmation hearings for the Supreme Court Justice, now involving Amy Coney Barrett. But going back, I had a Senate confirmation hearing on a Supreme Court judge who was denied confirmation that directly impacted the way that I probably conducted the rest of my life. So we'll get into that story in a little while. Charlie Partridge, Manny Diaz in the 7 o'clock hour. We did get a hold of Santos Perez. He'll talk some boxing with us at 9 o'clock. Tony Segreto, old school, 8 till 9 o'clock. Catholic Health Services, Texas Roadhouse involved there. Back with a lot more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Is she against simulcasting? Amy Coney Barrett? I didn't catch that. Anybody ask her about that? It's 6:54.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.